but is calling about the second point in Murphy's memorandum. As far as briefings were concerned, Murphy would be in touch with them at some point. But that you had never, to anyone, to him or Kennedy or anyone else, indicated that people could come after whoever they wanted, that your statement was clear. That as a human being, and if you wanted to favor anybody, it was damned easy to tell the difference between a man who was supporting administration policy and some of the things that the Kennedy had said, that you were, the policy was being applied even-handed. And even though it, you know, on occasion this was damn difficult, when we saw ourselves accused of doing things that were unforgivable. Then he came back at me and he said, well, if it's even-handed, then should I report to you on Humphrey activity in the administration? And I said, if you report to me on Kennedy activity in the administration. And then he got a little miffed at that, and he said, well, he wasn't sure it was, and I said, well, he had my word for it. You can take it or leave it there, and it had nothing to do with Kennedy or Humphrey or anybody else. There were difficult problems in Vietnam and with respect to the fiscal situation in the cities, and you had made a decision that the national interest required that all the effort be concentrated there. And the conversation ended, but it wasn't a fight, but it was by no means a pleasant conversation.
Well, there's only one thing you'll tell him, and just say that the best thing you can do is not to try to tell us what to do or how to do it, because we're going to pay one damn bit of attention to what you say and tell him that next time. But we're not going to be guided by Senator Kennedy's interests at all, and we're not interested in any of your arguments on that bone. We don't owe you nothing. What you're doing is you're doing your goddamnedest to drive us away from something we don't want to do. Isn't that right?
Yes. No question. And that's about it. I haven't had any other calls on it.
I think you ought to analyze the Harwood story and look at it, mark it in the yellow pencil, everything they say, and then check it back to state. And say, here are the two leaks now. These are the two departments that the president says are untrustworthy. I wish you'd clean it up. Go ahead. Now, you had one other thing you said.
You told me to call you on the poverty.
I thought you said one other thing connection with this.
Oh, the Harwood thing, we changed that story in the Bulldog edition. It implied that this had been done after Schnitger.
Yeah. That's
and,
right.
And I said that.
He's lying, little son of a bitch. That's what he said.
Yeah. And he never mentioned Schnitger to me. I called Ben Bradley after George and Tom had talked to me, and Ben did change it. Now, I told him I was goddamn mad at Harwood because he never indicated anything like that to me. And as a matter of fact, the policy was set first on March 31st, and then the day before we knew anything about Schnitger.
Well, the moment that Orville Freeman announced, I called and told him that he ought to have done it. And we wanted to settle it. And I put in a call for him, and he's gone. And the moment I heard of Snitker, I did the same thing. And the moment I heard of Baker, I did the same thing. And the moment I heard of Larry O'Brien, I did the same thing. Now, that's just all. So it was set March 31st, and then any time after that, within 1 hour after I heard of it, we'd taken the same position. And Freeman will tell you that, and Cohen will tell you that. The moment I heard of it, we could notify him. Didn't you notify Cohen?
Yes. I missed him.
Well, you find out when Jim Jones called Orville Freeman, and you'll find his day, by God, right after his speech. What time was it?
Well, you call me, Mr. President.
6 minutes before he gave it, we got it, and we called him, and we couldn't get him. Within an hour after he gave it. So put that down. Now, what do we do to Wirtz? We couldn't locate him. He's gone somewhere. But we called him in California, didn't we?
Yes, I talked to Bill last night. I guess it was after we talked.
No, but I mean earlier. We talked to him when we told him Freeman and him, didn't we?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay. I just want to tell him that we have told this to every one of them.
And Matter of fact, you called me before the meeting.
I can't stop Humphrey from doing a goddamn thing. Humphrey can do anything he wants to. That's not mine. He's elected by the people. Just like Kennedy gets Larry O'Brien and McNamara and some of my other appointees to do these things. McNamara hadn't resigned. He's on the goddamn World Bank. I think he ought to if he gets in this campaign.
I don't think he will anymore. I think he's really been burned.
Well, I think, though, you ought to tell him what we've done here. I tell him the president was terribly disappointed that he would get involved in something like this. That he just didn't think he ought to at all. He didn't think the World Bank ought to. And that he is telling these other men that if they're going to stay in the administration, he expects them to stay out of it. And while the World Bank's not the administration, it's my goddamn boats there that put him where he is.
All right, I'll give him a call and tell him.
I don't think he ought to say I asked you to call him. I think you ought to wait till he talks to you about something. Just say, here's what we have. Hell, that you kicked off Bob. You really kicked off a Lulu here.
I can do that because he'll be calling me next week about the Eider.
I would just sure do it. Just say now, the president thought you were religiously nonpartisan between he and Kennedy. He knows you're a friend. But he hadn't asked you to say that he did a fine job. As far as he knows, there's been no public regarding that he has. And he's not a candidate. But he thinks if you go out here and go talking about this kind of stuff that you do, involve yourself. You've got all the cabinet involved. Now, all of them want to hit back and go the other way. And the Humphrey people use it and say, well, look what Larry O'Brien did. Look what Kappenstein did. Look what all these they're out here doing. And I'm just having hell in the White House itself.
Okay. I'll when he talks to me next week about either. I'd say,
I'm not authorized to tell you this, but I think you ought to know that this is causing us problems, and here's what's happening. And I think it'll cause you problems, Bob, because if the president says to a cabinet officer that you ought to get out of here, or go back and get away from these statements, why, he's not going to want his man that he votes for the World Bank, to do the same thing. Or the Export-Import Bank. The American Bank. I told Ed Clark to stay out of the governor's race. So we can't have one rule for one the other now. I'm not for Kennedy. I resent this very much. I may have to change the goddamn rule. I think you got to leave me getting out place. You say he's going to do this if he can.
Well, I must say, I said to Sorensen last night, and I said, you know, he's doing this as long as he can do it, maintain this posture, so.
Well, Sorensen.
You know, he only made that crack about, then I suppose I should call you and report any instances of pro-Humphrey activity in the administration. I said, you call me and tell me any instances of pro-Kennedy activity in the administration. You got annoyed on that.
Well, I think we'll tell Kip this, too. I can tell each one of Kip how smooth they are. Let them know it. You talk to them. Just want any calls from those goddamn officers. You just want to direct the captain knows and see what happens. They tell me they ordered speeches very delivered. We don't want them today, we don't want them tomorrow. Sounds like that. I've never heard such arrogance. This administration ought to prepare nothing. I tell the vice president to keep his. Get his researchers to get them to where they can do it, but not have the speeches prepared for the administration. I'm going to ask him to do a thing as vice president from now on. He can just do it as Kent. We've got to cut McCartney out and cut up for him. I mean, to cut Kennedy off. All right. What else?
You had asked me to call you on this report of the National Advisory Council on Poverty Program.
Yeah, I don't want that goddamn. It looks like to me it's worth a damn. It looks like to me it's trying to be a Bellis Hess magazine with all those goddamn pictures and stuff like that.
Well, we can make it. We can get the pictures out and make it like the other reports.
What I would do is it looks like to me it's expensive and catch hell for us. And it looks like to me it's just some do-gooder wrote it. What I read last night, it's not the kind of thing that I want to really associate with. if they have got to, if the law requires it, let's look at the law and see what it says about requiring it be submitted. But all they do is just come along here and say that we want more community action and all this kind of stuff. My judgment is community action is the basis that Bobby Kennedy and Rebikov plus community action have brought riots on this country, solely. I don't think it's the poverty causes toll, because they've had a hell of a lot more poverty, a lot more unemployment, a lot more other things. It's the leadership that's brought this on. And I think number one is Bobby Kennedy and Rebikov. Number two is Sergeant Shriver and his poverty. Number three is television. That's my judgment. Now, you think I'm wrong?
I think the Kennedy-Rebikov hearings and what they both those guys have said have really been very inflammatory. I'm not sure community action has been spread.
I think, well, I'm sure that by God they and every bit of it, and they've got somebody in every one of these things that are the Rap Browns and the Martin Luther Kings and the McKissicks and all of them are products of community action. That's where they get the money. We finance all of them, Joe.
Well, when we check on that, on Brown and Stokely and people like that, we don't, you know, we have no evidence of money that we
need. Well, you don't, but you check on, you'll see Brother Reverend Fauntleroy will be heading up operation out here of some kind. Martin Luther King's group in Atlanta will be studying this group, and we'll be pouring them the money.
Well, Fauntleroy's been pretty good to us.
Well,
I've just been good to him.
Just telling you, though, I didn't think so. I thought the first thing the little son of a bitch did was take Bobby on a tour. Right at the critical moment when I needed his help. And just exactly like when your wife was having the baby. And they thought she might live or die and the baby might die. See you out with some whore.
That's the way I interpret it. You all got different standards up here in Bronx, Brooklyn. That's the way
the mountaineers look at it. A man's your friend and he's loyal to you. By God, he don't have to be told when. That little son of a bitch walked out and started parading the streets of Washington. And I brought him up here and put him on the city council and elevated him into stardom. And he went out and picked the man that was cutting me and gutting me. That's all I want, just exactly like I see Bill Moyer going down there on the train. And if I catch you going back out, going out here to Hickory Hill and getting Art Bookwall on one knee and Joe Kraft on the other, try to suck up to get Sweet Column, I just don't believe him. I don't think you have to be smart to see that. And I'll tell you this, Ted Sarnson will sure see it. And those people. And I just think that's our great weakness. I've had people like you and Bill Moyers and Jack Valenti and all of you, and you all just, by God, just go around smiling to everybody. And there's some goddamn thugs that you can't trust with your wife's purse. You think that's a legitimate complaint of my administration or not?
I think sometimes you have to talk to these people, Mr. President. I think you probably do have some guys that... It doesn't make any difference whether it's Kraft or anybody else. They just suck up to anybody they thought was going to help them. But
I think we do it primarily naively. I don't think Jack Valenti ever sat down with Charlie Bartlett and thought that he was doing anything dishonorable toward me.
He thinks he's gotten Bartlett to be
that's
pretty
right.
Favorable.
That's exactly right. And I'm sure you think that you've got Kraft over on my side or this goddamn Harwood, but I don't bet you have. And I'm being jocular with some of these names, but I tell you, Bobby won't be. You just take my word for it. And McCarthy won't be. No. Humphrey will be. Humphrey will have Sergeant Shriver and Mrs. Joe Kennedy right in there stealing his goddamn pennies off of his wife's eyes in the coffin. And I mean, they won't hesitate to do it. Humphrey won't hesitate. He just, like the king of Norway. All right, if you got anything else for me, I'll turn loose to you.